So in this timeline, we have at the very beginning of the big God story timeline, Adam and Eve. And it goes throughout the entire Bible. We call the Bible the big God story. God's big story of salvation, redemption, and how he loves us. And you see at the very end, it says you and me, because we believe that God has a plan for you and me. And no matter how small you are, no matter how old you are, God has a plan for you, and it can start today. That's what we talk about in TC Kids. And today we're going to be looking at where that arrow's pointing, and Jesus' ministry today is where we're going to be in our big God story today. We're going to be focusing on a parable that Jesus told during his ministry. What's a parable? A parable is basically a story with an agreed upon meaning. Or kind of like, I guess it could be not agreed upon because some of them are a little hard to understand. But generally, yeah, with an agreed upon meaning. So Jesus told all kinds of these in the Bible. Can any kid tell me can any kid give me an example of a parable in the Bible? Anybody know what a parable would be in the Bible that Jesus told? Adults, feel free to help out. The prodigal son, what'd you say? Lost sheep, lost coin. That parable of the talents, yes. The seeds, how about the Good Samaritan? Yep, Zoe, the Good Samaritan, good. Yep. So we're going to be focusing on one today, which is perhaps the most well-known and the first one said today, the prodigal son. So good job, Lisa. You knew it. Evan actually knew my notes, so he said the other ones that were relevant. So he cheated. You didn't. So good job, Lisa. So we're going to be looking at the prodigal son in Luke 15. The parable is named after its main character, the prodigal son, which means basically extravagantly wasteful with what they've been given. We talked about this at our Fidget event in February, but we're going to focus on the latter part of the story, where the older brother comes in. And we're going to be focusing on the topic of mercy today. Everyone say mercy. Mercy. All right. So we're going to be looking at how the older son neglected to show mercy. We're going to be looking at how God shows mercy to us, and because of that, we need to show mercy to others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can all be up here together, Lord, on TC Kids Sunday, where we can celebrate our children, and we can celebrate you, and we can celebrate, Lord, just being together, Lord, as a body of believers. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open our ears to hear, open my mouth to speak, Lord, and let us be united as we worship you today and leave together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be starting in the second part of verse 20. And we're going to have it on the screen as well. While you're turning there, though, I got some jokes for you. What do you call an owl who leaves his family to be on his own? A prodigal. Woo! Oh, yeah. All right, and what did the pig say when the prodigal son wanted to eat his food? Oink. Pigs can't talk, sillies. Gotcha. Thank you. Miss Nick, I might pay you to just walk by me for life. You can just be my hype man. Hey, I thought it was funny too. That's why I wrote it down. Yeah. All right. Hopefully you're there by now. We're going to be starting in verse 20. So the beginning of the prodigal son story, this son tells his dad that he wants his inheritance now. So he goes and he wastes it all on fun living. And a famine comes and he finds himself with no money, with no food, so desperate that he wants to eat the pig's food. And he comes to realization saying, hey, wait a minute. I could go back to my dad and be his servant and he might let me come back. So let's pick it up there. He got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So one of the servants asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So Jesus is speaking in this parable with other parables in this section about lost things that were found. There's two major audiences in this parable that Jesus is speaking to. The first is the audience of the Pharisees or the religious leaders of that time. The second is the audience of the sinners. And in this situation, the Pharisees were questioning why Jesus was communing with the sinners. So this is the last of three stories in Luke 15 that talks about something lost being found. There's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And each brother in this story represents one of the audiences. So I want to take the perspective of the older brother. I want to get in his shoes and see what was he thinking as he neglected to show mercy. So the older brother in ancient Israel was seen with more honor. He was seen with more favor generally, and he usually received more. So both of these brothers would have had an inheritance when their father died. But the younger brother asked for it now, which is essentially saying, Dad, I kind of wish you were dead so I could have your money. That's basically what's going on. So he can go do his own thing. But the older brother stayed with his father, despite what the younger brother did. We see the younger brother was rash and impulsive and selfish, and it kind of landed him in a lot of trouble. But we see the older brother who's faithful and sticks with his father. But when we see the younger brother return, we see a whole different side of the older brother that we hadn't seen before. The younger brother is kind of like the sinners in the audience. He represents the sinners in the audience, where they know they've done wrong, but they come to Jesus, and they spend time with him, and they know they need forgiveness. But the older brother is kind of like the Pharisees, where they've spent their whole lives with God, and they think they love him. And they devote their lives to God and to the law. But they miss a crucial part of the law, which is mercy. Do any kids know what the word mercy means? Kind of a hard one. Abby, Genevieve, any of you know what mercy means? Giving someone another chance? That's a really good answer. Yeah, so mercy kind of means kindness towards those who are afflicted or those who are abused or neglected, but it can also mean not giving. Thank you. It can also mean not giving somebody the thing that they deserve. Can I get two kids up here? Abby, Genevieve, come on up here. Give them a hand. All right, come stand right next to me on this side, Abby. And Genevieve, you come stand right next to me on this side. Now, Genevieve, okay, you can come up here too, Zoe. All right. Genevieve, I'm going to give you a chance to do the thing that you have always wanted to do, and I'm going to let you do it in front of everybody. Go ahead and hit me on my arm. Give me a real hit. Come on. It's okay. Nice. Ow! Oh, all right. Now, Abby, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Can you give me a little hit? Zoe, you give me a little hit.
Ow!
Zoe was more than happy to do that. What's that about? All right. So, Genevieve, you stay here. Okay, you girls can go sit down. Go sit down, Zoe. Go sit down, Abby. Go on. Yeah, go back to them. Okay, maybe you should come get them. Okay, come get them, please. Okay, and now, Genevieve, since you hit me, you're going to have to sit on stage for the rest of the service. I'm just kidding. You can go back. Okay. But if I were to have enforced that, which child would I have shown mercy to? The one that I said to go get back or the one that I enforced a punishment on? Zoe. I would have shown mercy to Zoe, right? Because I didn't give her what she deserved. So did the older brother try to forgive and understand and love his younger brother? Or did he try to judge his brother and selfishly prop himself up to his father in light of the brother returning? It seems to me like he's trying to prop himself up and saying, here's all the things I'm doing. It seems to me like he's trying to make a name for himself by putting himself above that of his brother. And that doesn't really work out too well in the Bible. We have plenty of examples of people trying to make a name for themselves. I think immediately of the Tower of Babel, where people literally build this tower that reaches to the heavens so that they can make a name for themselves. And what happens to them? Their languages, they have different languages and they get scattered throughout the land. Think of King Saul, where he's anointed by God and then things don't go his way, and he tries to make a name for himself despite that. And it doesn't work out too well for him either. And then David's son, Absalom, who doesn't have the anointing of God but tries to kind of force it, and what happens to him? He ends up hanging from his hair in a tree, right? It doesn't work out too well for him. That's kind of what we're seeing with the older brother here. On the other side, though, did the father show mercy or judgment on the younger brother? He showed him mercy. He didn't give him punishment. If he were to show him judgment, maybe he doesn't let him come back. Maybe he lets him come back as a servant, but he doesn't. He shows him mercy. Whereas the older brother doesn't call for mercy, he calls for judgment. And in doing so, he himself was in need of mercy, because it could have got totally turned back around on him. Because judgment is the Lord's. Judgment is not our own. And when we judge, we drive wedges into humanity. We create division when we judge without mercy, when we're trying to make a name for ourselves. And when we try to make a name for ourselves, we are either pushing ourselves up or pulling other people down so that we are seen as higher. It's a totally selfish thing. Now, how did the father react to the older brother saying this? Did he show him mercy or judgment? He showed him mercy. He could have turned it around and said, hey, what you're doing right now is wrong. You need to show your brother mercy, and I'm going to punish you for what you're doing. But he didn't. He showed him mercy. He invited him to come, because the Father loves mercy and desires mercy. Who's thankful for the Lord's mercy today? Amen. We'd be nothing without it. I want to look at how God shows mercy to us now. Because just like in the parable of the prodigal son, when God showed mercy to the younger and the older brothers, he also desires to show mercy to us. And this isn't a new idea, God delighting in mercy. I think of when he shows mercy to Cain, when Cain killed his brother, but God showed mercy to him, spared his life, and kept him secure. I think of Noah before, during, and after the flood, when God showed mercy on him and his family. Think of Jacob multiple times when Jacob tries to deceive his way into special things for himself, but God keeps his promised family line on Jacob despite that. There's a scripture specifically in the Old Testament that calls this out. It's in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. It reads, For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So this phrase, steadfast love, it's the Hebrew word is almost always translated as mercy. And here, if you look in the ESV, which is what I'm using, it has a footnote that says, or mercy. It's commonly translated as mercy. Your translation may show the word mercy. So basically it's saying, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And Jesus quotes this verse in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He quotes it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. And both of these times he was being questioned by the Pharisees about the law of the Old Testament. He understood the importance of showing mercy to all, because the Pharisees are all about the sacrifice, the rituals, the law. And Jesus is quoting this verse from their law that they've basically memorized, saying, God desires mercy, not sacrifice. You guys are missing the point, and you have it wrong, just like the older brother. The God of the Bible is merciful. He takes joy in showing mercy, which is so opposite of the culture that the society that we live in today, where we are inclined to show judgment and to show justice and to give justice on those who do wrong, which I think is a good thing. I'm not saying go and free all the criminals, but I'm just saying that our society is inclined to show justice instead of mercy, opposite of what God does. So how can we learn from the story of the older brother? As a follower of Jesus, we need to glorify him and be more and more like him every day, which is just an amazing example that we have to look after. Well, what did Jesus do? He broke what was common in the culture. He broke cultural norms. He showed love and hung out with the sinners and the people who were despised and hated, even though he wasn't supposed to do that. And it started with love and compassion that he had for those people. Mercy in Greek is eleos. It can refer to the goodwill done towards the afflicted and the goodwill to be able to help them. So it's a synonym that's rooted in love. That's what it boils down to. What is mercy rooted in? Everyone say love. Right. Jesus had love for the tax collectors. He had love for the sinners when he told the story of the prodigal son. Did the Pharisees have love towards the sinners? No, they showed hatred toward the sinners and the tax collectors, which is what was shown in the older brother's response. James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, was a leader in the Jewish church and had heavily been influenced by Jesus' teachings. And he says this so beautifully in his letter in James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And it kind of sounds confusing when I read. I'm going to read it one more time. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. When we don't show mercy, judgment comes on us without mercy. That means judgment's coming on us relentlessly when we show no mercy. That's what James says. And we have the ability to choose mercy and love over judgment and hate. That's up to us to choose. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying, I have always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. I've always found that mercy bears richer fruit than strict justice. And Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. I'll read it one more time. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." So some of our country's most prominent leaders, some of the world's, honestly, most prominent leaders in equality and stopping racism and making steps for that understood this point for mercy and why it was so needed. Mercy really will win over judgment. I know it kind of seems hard to think about that, but love is going to win over hate. But in our society, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like judgment is what is needed to make a difference. But what the Bible says is totally opposite. And it's true in the long run that mercy is going to win over judgment. So it's up to us to choose love and mercy or hate and judgment. Every day in our lives, we face choices. We face the choice of the father in this story or the older brother, showing mercy that comes from love or judgment that comes from hate, elevating others or elevating ourselves, passing the tests that we face or failing those that we face. We have an enemy that's trying to lead us towards hate and judgment, but we have a helper, a friend, an advocate that's trying to lead us towards the way of Jesus, towards the way of mercy. So we've talked about how the older son in the story representing the Pharisees neglected to show mercy, that God, the father in the story, delighted in showing mercy, and how we ourselves need to show mercy as the result of what's been shown to us. How can we apply this morning? How often are you showing mercy? Do you show mercy? Do you show judgment? Worship team, you can come on back up. That passage in James is giving instructions to Jewish Christians who are supposed to know how to love and how to serve God. They've studied it their whole lives. They're supposed to know how to love and serve God. But they didn't realize that they were just as guilty as the people they were casting judgment on. So, church, I want to ask you, do you delight in showing mercy? Or are you used to, or do you delight in showing judgment? Show mercy, or judgment comes without mercy. That's what James says. And I want to clarify that there's a time for judgment and correction. And I think that's kind of what Jesus does to the Pharisees in telling the stories. I think he's kind of showing judgment from a perspective of mercy. Just like the father told the older brother to come on into the party. And he approached the older brother with love and mercy, but he still left it open for them to see their judgment and where they were falling short. What I want to emphasize is the priority that Jesus had in showing mercy over judgment. How often are you casting judgment in the church of God? I can't believe he did this. I'm so much more righteous than she is because she does this. I wish he would serve more in the church. When we have these thoughts, even if we don't verbally express them, we're missing the point. We're missing mercy. Because we're all on the same team. Everyone say, Team God. Yes, thank you, Nick. We are all on the same team. We're all a part of his family. And it should give us more of a reason to show mercy to fellow believers. What's going on up there? Okay. Team God. But how often are we... So we got to make sure we're not judging those within our community, within those who are part of God's family. But how often are we judging non-believers as well? And how much is this contributing to them staying away from the good news? Because we know that there's a lot of selfishness and manipulation and hatred, confusion in our world. And when we rely on judgment rather than mercy, we contribute to that. That contributes in driving wedges between humanity that keeps the kingdom of heaven away from our lives. Because in the kingdom of heaven, there's mercy. Mercy is what Jesus showed to sinners consistently. And this is what made them open to the good news. So why should we be any different than the one we serve? The one who loves mercy. Why should we be any different? Why should we allow judgment to reign in our lives? So let's show mercy today. Let's show mercy this week. I want us to take notes of our thoughts of judgment and hatred and selfishness, even though we don't think that we're thinking that way. Take some time to be mindful of that thought. Ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart, to change your thoughts, to dwell on mercy and love and spreading his good news rather than judgment. So I got a little application activity that we're going to do today that we sometimes do in kids. I brought up our prayer wall, which we sometimes will pin things to, so that we can remind to pray for those. We can be reminded to pray for those things. Sometimes we write on there for certain applications of our lesson for the day. So maybe it's a little bit cheesy, but that's what the kids love. So I'm going to encourage you guys to do something similar today. Do something a little weird, maybe. But I have some pens and some index cards up here. And I'm going to invite you guys, if you'd like to come up here and take an index card and write on it maybe somebody that you want to show mercy to, or write on it a one or two sentence prayer on how God can help you show mercy, or what you need to do in order to allow yourself to show mercy. Don't feel like you have to, but I would encourage you, think about it. Go ahead and you can pin it on here. Backwards or forwards if you want, it doesn't matter. And while we sing this song, consider coming up here. And then you can stay up here and do worship. You can go back to your seat, however you're feeling led.